You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. This is Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton. Episode 70, The Switch to Make You Switch. Today on the program, it's all about the Nintendo Switch. Why? Because, well, we can't really avoid the news of someone like Nintendo releasing a new console. They had a lengthy press conference going into detail about the product's design, which exceeded my expectations, and I think Michael's as well. And you'll hear more about that in the episode. So stay tuned. And now the show. When everything is broken.
So, Nintendo switched things up last night. Are you ready for a whole episode of Switch puns?
I got lots. You've set the tone already, yeah, and
I got so many, but not really. Okay, so last night, Nintendo properly unveiled the Nintendo Switch, and needless to say, I have already pre-ordered one. It's pretty much everything we expected it to be. The new Joy-Con controllers are quite impressive. A lot of technology packed into those things. We'll get to that in a bit. I think first off the bat, I want to kind of break down some of the criticism that people have been throwing at it. One, the price. So the Nintendo Switch is going to retail for $299 US, $399 in Canada. And the controllers are $60 for one and $100 for a two-pack. And then the Nintendo Switch dock, which is what you use to connect it to a TV. And to be fair, one is included with the console. Those are $90 separately. It's pricey, but once you break it down, I feel like it's not really that bad. In fact, I saw a tweet earlier, and they said that the Nintendo Switch, adjusted for inflation, is actually the third cheapest console launch ever.
Well, it's absolutely not an expensive console.
No.
Because it undercuts the PS4.
Well, it undercuts the PS4 Pro. Like, if we look at this as a brand new console... Of course, some people aren't doing that. Some people are saying, well, the graphics aren't as good. It should be cheaper. But have you ever seen somebody put console-level graphics on a handheld device? I mean, okay, PlayStation Vita, but they didn't really try with that. And it wasn't at the level that this device is. Nor could it output to a TV. So, I mean, when we're talking about the level of technology that the Switch has... This is a fully fledged hybrid console with a ton of different technologies in there. I would bet without a doubt the controllers are connected through Bluetooth. It probably has the latest Wi-Fi. It's got a 6.2-inch 720p capacitive multi-touch screen. The controllers themselves have highly advanced haptic feedback and motion control gyroscopes. And the right controller has a IR gesture field that on paper sounds like what's in the Oculus Touch controllers and the HTC Vive controllers, which have a little ring area at the front where it can actually pick up on hand gestures. So all of that bundled into a... package that only costs $299 US is nothing short of astounding. Like,
and this is not your typical Nintendo El Cheapo made product.
No, it's not. It's not at all. It is plastic, but it's very high build quality as far as I've seen.
and the unprecedented screen, the level of detail glass. That we've never seen, like yeah. fit and finish.
Oh yeah, this is head and shoulders way above anything they've ever built before. Just every little detail has been thought of. It really feels like they went full Apple on this one. I mean, sure, there's some things to complain about. The battery life isn't as good as we were hoping it would be. But considering the level of graphics that they're pumping out of this thing, kind of impressive. Like Zelda Breath of the Wild, an immense, immense open world game with stunning cel-shaded graphics and particle effects and everything else going on in there, running at 720p, 60 frames a second in handheld mode. 60, not 30. It also outputs 1080p 60 to the TV, which I'll remind our listeners, the PS4 and the Xbox One generally can't even do, depending on the game. So Nintendo is targeting 60 frames for their games. Sure, the graphics might not quite be as good, but the frame rate is going to allow for a much more pleasant gameplay experience.
And so going back to...
So going back to the battery life, all that being said, a game like that, a game that's basically like Skyrim or Witcher 3, you can run anywhere you are, on a bus, on a train, on a plane, for 3 hours.
And what you were saying about people complaining about the Switch is... The price, is that the only thing that they're complaining about?
Well, the price is the first thing. And I really feel like...
Have these people not bought another Nintendo console before? That's odd to
Well,
me.
I mean, it's higher than the base model Wii U.
Not by that much.
And it's like, yes, it's more expensive than most Nintendo product launches. But the thing is, it's not more expensive than something comparable. Like, you look at an iPad, you look at a Shield tablet, which ostensibly this is based on, it has that pricing. So, I mean, you're paying for a multi-touch tablet, but then also you're getting the controllers, you're getting the dock, you're getting an adapter for the controllers that lets you use it as a handheld while it's plugged into the TV. Like there's just so much value add there, and it's the same price as an Android tablet, basically. So, you know, like considering the amount of tech in here and considering what is being offered, I think it's perfectly reasonable for Nintendo to be charging that much.
And I agree with you, but I did see some people say that, well, you know, it's only going to have a handful of titles at launch.
Right, so that's...
But every console is like that at launch.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 4 was like that. It did fine.
Well, yeah, that's the other criticism. So at launch, there's going to be like 4 or 5 games. So you've got Zelda, the 1-2 Switch party game, Skylanders Imaginators, Just Dance 5... 7 or whatever it is now. And then coming out a little while after that, you've got other launch title, a new Bomberman game, which is going to be awesome with the 8-player local multiplayer. And then a little while after that, towards the end of April, you're going to get Mario Kart 8 Deluxe or something. It had some suffix on it. Basically, it's the Wii U version of Mario Kart, but they've added stuff on. They've made battle mode better. You're getting full online multiplayer with the new online service that they have yet to fully unveil. Hopefully, it's good. We'll cross our fingers on that. It will eventually be paid, so it'd better be good. It's going to be free until fall. To give everyone a chance to try it out. And it will work with a smartphone app that connects to it. So, yeah, hopefully it's good. Otherwise, they're not going to get those subscriptions.
I don't want to dwell on the complainers because there are, no matter what product it is, no matter how good it's going to be, there's always going to be people that are a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
And you just have to ignore them. Because I always feel like there are these groups of people that have never been happy with anything in their lives. Right? They just sit there on a computer.
Well, I mean, yeah, people love to complain and people can always find something to complain about. Right.
But we should talk about, now I have not, just so the audience knows, as of this recording, I have not seen the presentation that came out this week. I know you have, or at least yes. Have you seen the whole thing?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing live.
I only saw a little bit of it, but we should really talk about the fit and finish of this product, because they gave a lot more information to us in the presentation than we previously had.
Yes.
There's one aspect that I'm particularly excited about, but why don't you, I'll let you lead that conversation since you've seen it.
Okay. I mean, this is a vastly improved device from what Nintendo has put out over the past few years. In its DNA, it's more like a 3DS than a Wii. Though at the start of the presentation, they basically said it has elements of every previous console that they've made, including the Game Boys and so on. And that's true in a way, but it's also its own thing. And I think they're really onto something here. That idea of having a traditional game console, but then also you can just take it with you and play these games no matter where you are. To have that level of fidelity, to have truly AAA gaming experiences on the go, is something I think a lot of people have dreamed about for a long time. I mean, consoles are generally very tethered experiences. You have to sit in your living room,
right,
play on the TV, and that just falls away now with this device. You can, like, I keep coming back to Zelda. Like, it seems almost silly to focus on one game so heavily, but just the promise of that game, being able to play a game that vast, that stunning, anywhere, is just such a compelling idea. And to compound on that, you've got Bethesda. They're going to be releasing Skyrim on the Switch. You're going to get full JRPGs like Shin Megami Tensei and Fire Emblem and a new Xenoblade. Just these big, big games that you would have never thought you could run on something you just take with you. But that's what Nintendo is trying to achieve here. And sure, the battery life might not be great. It might not be exactly what we were hoping for. But the great thing about this device is USB-C. So anyone can make an accessory that extends that battery life considerably.
Yeah, like a battery pack, which I'm sure will happen.
Oh, yeah. You know that's going to happen.
I mean, the PlayStation 4... famously, those controllers are just awful, awful battery life. And yeah. I did buy a battery pack that attaches to the back of it.
Yeah. The Joy-Con controllers, by the way, they last 20 hours and they recharge in about 3.5 hours.
Now, 20 hours, is that continuous play use or is that standby time?
I believe that's continuous play.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's way better than the DualShock.
Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah. So my guess is they're using Bluetooth 4 low energy. They'd have to be.
I would imagine. I don't know how you would do, like, that without it.
20-hour battery life with controllers that small? Yeah. That's the only
way.
That's the only way it could work. So, I mean, this...
I mean, of course, we don't know the size of the battery, but I mean, that thing is tiny. The controller's tiny. How big could the battery possibly be?
Oh, yeah. They're tiny. Plus, they have to fit in all the haptic feedback, the motors and then the accelerometers and all of that stuff.
The networking.
Yeah. So, I mean, once you've crammed all that in, how much room is there for the battery? So, I mean, definitely BTLE for sure. So already it's like light years ahead of what Sony's offering. Even with the Pro, like the Pro still doesn't.
I'm really surprised that they shipped that without.
The new DualShock 4 controllers aren't any better.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand what the hell happened there.
So we'll have to wait until the next Sony console to get the kind of battery life that this device has for its controllers, which is nuts. Speaking of, so yeah, there's the individual controllers that last 20 hours. Then there's also a secondary accessory. So the console itself ships with a little grip accessory that you can slot the Joy-Cons into, and it becomes like a regular controller. There is another version of the grip that has its own internal battery called the grip charging case. Or charging... I think it's case? Anyways. So it's like the... It's exactly like the grip, except the middle of it has a battery. And then you slot the Joy-Cons into that, and suddenly you've got this controller that connects your Switch and probably lasts twice as long. So 40 hours of battery life potentially in that configuration. Plus it can charge the Joy-Cons. So, I mean, yeah, like this is a very advanced piece of hardware considering. Like they've put a lot of time and R&D into this thing and it shows. Even the UI, we haven't seen a lot of it, but it basically looks like a dressed up version of the PlayStation 4 cross media bar. You've got the games running on this giant strip in the middle. Below that, you've got the eShop settings, and some other stuff. Top left and right, you've got your account indicator, battery life, time. And then at the very bottom, there's a battery life indicator for the controllers as well. Just really clean, far cleaner than what we've come to expect from Nintendo UI. Hopefully it's a lot faster because as people who own Nintendo hardware currently might know, the 3DS and the Wii U have atrocious loading times for their apps. Even for settings, you have to go through a load screen just to access device settings, which is absurd.
I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the CPU, but I mean,
I'm really sure the software
is at fault too.
But hopefully that has changed with this device.
Yeah.
I'd be very interested to see somebody tapping around with it just to see what the load times are like there.
Could we go back to the hardware for a moment there? Because there are some things that I saw regarding the way the controllers connect to the Switch itself that I thought were particularly creative.
Mm.
That really surprised me. I did not expect Nintendo to go to that level of attention to detail in something. Mm. I think you know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
And that is the shoulder buttons.
Yeah. So the cool secret about the Joy-Con that we didn't know before, I mean, they had shown this method of play before, but they didn't elaborate completely. So for one versus one local multiplayer on the Switch directly, you can pass one of the Joy-Cons to a friend, and tilting the controller sideways, you have a control stick, a D-pad, and two shoulder buttons that are hidden inside the rail that connects to the Switch console. So you have effectively a complete controller with enough buttons to still be able to play whatever game it is. On the go, two-player multiplayer with each half of the controller. Brilliant attention to detail. And I like just every little thing of this console is basically designed to be on the go. Like the dock almost seems like an afterthought to me. Like, sure, it's because of the battery life. You, when you're at home, you probably want to keep it as a regular console, but everything about the design of this thing evokes this idea of taking it with you and sharing it with people and playing with other people physically. Like, yeah, it's going to have this online service, but it also has 8-person local multiplayer. So if you have 8 friends, between 1 and 8 friends, some people joke they don't have enough friends, but up to 8 friends who also have Switches, you can just sit somewhere and play a 4v4 of Splatoon or Mario Kart or whatever. And you can do that in person instead of being trapped on your couches, which, I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous concept, but like, I don't know. I think gaming used to be more outgoing before online multiplayer. Like when multiplayer was local, when you had LAN matches, people had to get together to be able to play these games. Like, I remember when I was a kid, and oh God, I'm totally getting into remember when territory, but when I was a kid, I would play Super Smash Brothers with my friends or Halo 2, and we'd play locally on LAN, and that was great. Like, that was really fun. But now that everything's kind of gone to this online-only model, everybody's just kind of trapped in their own homes playing with each other, but it's completely disconnected. Like, nobody gets together anymore because
There's a social aspect, but there's no human interaction, yeah, really.
Like, there's no way to play these games physically together anymore. And I think Nintendo's kind of realized that. And the Switch, even though it is going to have that component, it almost feels like it's designed to be the antithesis of that. And I think that's really refreshing.
Absolutely.
Especially for kids. Like, I mean, Nintendo obviously famously makes their consoles for everyone. So it's nice that the Switch is going to provide that for kids as well, to have that experience that I had when I grew up playing games with friends. And I mean, the 3DS facilitates that as well, but obviously this is at a whole other level with the console level games. And we'll probably see other games on the Switch as well. Because of the multi-touch screen, it wouldn't surprise me if they released a bunch of indie titles that are on iOS or Android. Like, I could see those easily crossing over, especially with the higher focus on graphics performance, because this device obviously isn't running iOS or Android. It's not running a bunch of apps in the background, so it can focus on pushing that graphics performance to the limit. Key example, there's an upcoming indie title, Rime, that interestingly also kind of looks like Zelda with the cell shading. That's going to be released on Switch as well. It was originally a PS4 exclusive, but now it's going multi-platform and it's going to be on Switch. And I mean, given the art direction of that game and given the kind of quirkiness that it has, I'm honestly considering getting it on Switch instead of PS4. So I think there will be a lot of games like that, and I think it's going to provide an opportunity for a lot of indie developers to release their titles on this really unique console that allows people to kind of share the games in a way that they wouldn't be able to with the PS4 or the Xbox One. Yeah, I'm just really impressed by it. Obviously, there's still a lot of other questions. Like, we don't know what the online service looks like. We don't know what the OS is capable of or what it runs like.
So this thing is launching in March.
Yes.
March 3rd.
March 3rd.
Now, I'm just reading Polygon here, and they have a list of the retail pricing for 5 different countries, but it's saying Canada's price is $399.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I was confused, because I was thinking US dollars.
Yeah, no, it's $299 US.
Right. Okay. So it's around the same price as a PS4 Slim, slightly more expensive.
Yeah.
But slightly.
Yeah. But of course, the pricing of the PS4 Slim is because they've had years to continue to build those components at scale, and so the price comes down.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly, not to dwell on it too long, but I think there is certainly something to be said about the price, and I think that's mainly because expectations, Nintendo did set this precedent of, we build these really fun, affordable consoles, and it's been like that for a while, so yeah. It's kind of hard for consumers to digest that price, because it is significantly more expensive.
Yeah.
You know, from the previous generation. So I understand that. However, the counter argument is, this is a cutting edge system that does a lot more. Yeah. You are not tethered to your living room. I don't really need to go on anymore to really sell the idea of that. That being said, maybe that will be a deterrent for some parents that don't want to necessarily spend that much. But considering how many people are buying PS4s at this exact price, and the fact that this now allows you to leave your house and play the same level of video game on the go and share controllers, I mean, I'm sorry, that's a big win. I mean, obviously, this is just, we can sit here and speculate because there's no way for us to know what the numbers are going to be. My gut feeling is that this will sell better. This will outstrip Wii U sales.
Easily.
And whether or not, and I think it's a strong possibility, it may even outstrip the original Wii sales numbers. But yeah, we will see. Because, I mean, and people like radically new products. And this is a product where this is not just a shiny coat of paint. This is something that looks like a brand new product. And people like that, right?
Yeah, definitely. And like, I would say it's a total leap for them. Just like the Wii was a total leap for them. The GameCube was kind of a disappointing device. It was a great device. There were some really great games on
there. Fun games, great controller.
But it was very disappointing financially for Nintendo. The third-party support dried up. Everything kind of went to shit for them. So then they released the Wii, and suddenly everyone loves Nintendo again. Everyone wants to make games for the Wii again. And it just blows up. And I feel like the same thing is probably going to happen here. We do have third parties on board. I mean, whether that continues remains to be seen. EA sort of half-assedly announced a FIFA title. We don't know if it's this year's FIFA title or just a lazy port of last year's. Hard to say. I guess we'll find out. Obviously, Skyrim is a huge get. Even though it's an older game, it's still going to look great on this thing. And more importantly, you can take it with you. And obviously, some core studios in Japan have thrown in support. So, yeah. And obviously, the first party titles are going to be glorious. They announced, I mean, Zelda, obviously. They also announced Splatoon 2, which is going to be really fun. And a new Super Mario game, Super Mario Odyssey, which looks insane. Not least of which because Mario's running around a New York style city with accurate humans running around, which makes it kind of odd because he's a cartoonish Italian plumber.
Right. How's that work?
He's running past normal looking humans. It's just like the memes have already spread. It's like, there's this bit where he runs down the street and there's this guy kind of looking towards him, and people have like drawn like shocked face on him. Like, what the hell? Who's that guy? So yeah, it's nuts. And then there's another world where there's like creatures made of fruit and plants and stuff. And then another one that's like a desert with these weird fractured crystal glass things everywhere. Yeah, just just this sprawling epic Mario game. It seems to also be semi-open world, or at least the worlds are much larger than they were in previous titles. So that comes out holiday 2017. So Zelda's going to be the big release for the launch. They're going to have a trickle of games throughout the year, hopefully more that they have yet to announce. Like, there'll probably be a big buildup at E3. They're probably going to announce a ton of games there, I would think. But then the big holiday release, obviously, is the new Super Mario game, which I would bet good money that they're going to bundle it with a custom limited edition Mario Switch with like Mario deckled Joy-Con controllers or something. And it'll be either slightly more expensive or slightly less expensive, depending on where their profit margins are by then. And that'll just sell like crazy, because that'll be like the big holiday gift. If people haven't bought a Switch during the summer, it'll be like, okay, here comes Mario, buy the bundle for Christmas, your kids are going to love it, etc. And that momentum will just continue all the way through the end of the year into whatever the next game is.
Yeah, I mean, the bundles typically do pretty well, obviously, especially if it's Mario, because that's most prized intellectual property. But, I mean, so this new console is going to ship with a couple of different colors, right, for the controllers.
Yeah.
So I think it only makes sense to do a custom paint version for Mario too. So hopefully they don't charge more for that. I don't know if there will be a premium for that.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, by then almost a year will have passed. So in theory, they could drop the price a little in time for the holidays. Possibly. But yeah, right now you can get, so the actual Switch tablet is black, and then they have...
So that will always be black. It's just the controllers that they're...
For now, it'll always be black.
Okay.
They may release other colors eventually, but right now it's black, and you can get two SKUs. You can get the Switch with two gray Joy-Con controllers, or you can get the Switch with a neon blue and a neon red Joy-Con. Those will also be sold separately in two packs or individually. So if you don't like the red and blue, you can get two blue or two red.
Yeah. And the dock is what you need to have it hooked up to a TV. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So and that's not cheap.
No.
I think it's $90 US.
Yes. Actually, no, it's 99 Canadian, I think. Like, if you go on the Nintendo site, I think it says it's $99 okay. here. Now, people have complained a lot about this one.
I know, I saw the complaints about it.
But the thing is, like, people are saying it's just a hunk of plastic. Well, it's clearly not a hunk of plastic, because inside of that hunk of plastic, you've got a USB-C connector that the Switch slots onto. And then running through, it turns into a HDMI, an AC power, and I think there was a third one. So it's, yeah, I mean.
I haven't even looked at it, but based on what you've told me, it probably doesn't need to be that expensive.
Yeah, thinking about it, it probably shouldn't be that expensive.
Like, if it was $50, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
But if you have two TVs and you're... I mean, obviously...
Because there is actually an Apple accessory that does this.
Okay.
There's a USB-C AV adapter for the new MacBook Pro, and it has USB-C to HDMI and USB 2 and USB 3 or something like that. So, I mean... That accessory from Apple in and of itself could theoretically do what the dock does, because all you'd have to do is plug that in, plug the HDMI into the TV, and then use one of the USB ports to charge it.
Might work.
It could work. Yeah.
See, that is the beauty, which we've talked about in past episodes, about USB-C. Yeah. And it's great to see this trend that Nintendo is kind of being like, at the forefront of this. Oh, yeah.
Like, with this, they're basically ahead of the curve. They've basically set up the Switch to be infinitely extensible, depending on what accessories come out for USB-C.
Yeah. And proprietary stuff, like, not always, but I think if you look back at history in a varying degree of products, not just gaming stuff, but proprietary really does seem to generally be a bad idea and has not worked out well for a lot of companies.
Yeah.
For many reasons.
The only company that's been able to make it work is Apple.
Right. And I mean, the Vita is a prime example of,
oh God, that connector is the worst.
Instead of letting customers use regular micro SD cards, Sony was so hell-bent on using their proprietary memory cards, which are no different than regular SD cards.
Yep.
And they were astronomically priced, and I really do believe that was a big issue for them. And I think that's why a lot of people did not buy a Vita. It's because they bought the hardware, and then they realized, crap, the 5 gigs or 2 gigs, whatever it comes with, is useless. And then they go out to the store and like, I have to spend $100 on a memory card? I just spent $200 on this console.
So the great thing about the Switch in that regard, and people are complaining about this too, of course, it ships with 32 gigs of storage by default. And then you can expand that with a micro SD card.
It's better than 16.
Of course, it depends how big these games are, obviously. If you start buying some of these titles digitally, like, I can only imagine how much space Zelda takes up.
Let's actually talk about that, because they're doing cartridges again.
They are doing cartridges again.
That's very interesting.
Yes.
Now, tell me about this, because I didn't even see it, so I don't know what it looks like.
It
I don't
looks
know
like
if
a
any
fat little SD card.
Okay.
So I would say it's like a very high density flash chip.
So the bottom of it, does it look like an old style cartridge with the golden pins there at the bottom? Or
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
but
it
internally
slots,
it's like modern flash storage.
I would think so, yes. So this is probably like a very tiny high density flash chip. My guess is that by default, it might be 32 gigs, and then they might have a double capacity one that's 64.
It's a great move, I think. And I think that eventually that's what everybody's going to switch to. Like, even Sony, like Blu-ray, don't get me wrong, the dual layer Blu-rays are great. They have huge storage capacities. No one wants a spinning disc. The moving parts, the noise of the disc going, like, nobody wants that.
Yeah. And so again, this is kind of a place where Nintendo's sort of gone to where the puck is going. Yeah. Cartridges eventually aren't going to make sense. It's all just going to be on the hard drive of these things.
Right.
In some distant future where we can put like 5 terabytes on a console in an SSD or whatever. But until that day, cartridges really make sense because they're tiny. You can easily store them in a carrying case with the device.
If you drop them, they still work, unlike a Blu-ray disc, which gets scratched up and then the laser can't read the contents of it.
Exactly. As long as the contacts aren't oxidized, it'll work. And because it's flash storage instead of the old cartridge format, doesn't have a battery inside, it'll work indefinitely as long as the Switch does. If you're okay with that, perfectly fine.
And I'm really glad that they shipped a UHD Blu-ray player in the Switch too. This is great.
Yeah, right on the back. You just pop it open like the old PSP.
It's got anti-skip protection and everything.
Yep. It's so good. I'm surprised they were able to fit it in. No. and no, it doesn't have that.
And everyone sighed with relief.
Yeah. Though that would be a pretty heavy dig at Sony, because it's like, the Xbox One S has UHD Blu-ray support.
Everybody
the Switch has
you
USD. UHD Blu-ray, but the Sony PS4 Pro don't. The guys that literally invented the format.
I was good. That's where I was going with this too, because it's, you got to admit, it is funny.
It's
that the people that invented that standard will
it's
not
so
put that
dumb
in their
them.
Own console.
It's so dumb of them.
Let's not even get into
but,
that.
But yeah, that's a whole other
thing.
It
just makes me
thing.
Mad. It just makes me mad.
It's like, I bet 6 months from now at E3, they're just going to like announce the PS4 Pro Plus.
No,
with
you know
UHD
what?
Blu-ray.
They won't even do an event. It'll just silently be updated.
Oh yeah,
and then
maybe
all the news media outlets
maybe
will pick up new refreshed slim PS4 comes with UHD drive. Like they'll just do that.
Yeah, I mean that's probably how it's going to go, right? They're going to do the whole TikTok thing where it's like, okay,
the Pro will be slim at some point.
Yeah, so this is We're totally abandoning the Switch at this point, but yeah,
we can loop back to that.
Yeah, we can loop back. I think you're totally right on the money there. I think the new cadence for these consoles is basically going to be, okay, we have the brand new one that's like way more powerful and does all this other stuff. Then a year down the line, oh, now that's the cheaper slim model. Here's the new, more powerful one. And they just keep doing that. Kind of like how Apple sells last year's model cheaper.
Exactly. Exactly.
It'll be just like that over and over and over again. So that like the previous generation will always be supported for at least 2 years. And then it just silently drops off the face of the earth as they keep iterating on the hardware. I mean, whether that's every year or not, I don't know. Project Scorpio is clearly targeted for quite a while, just going by their performance target. I mean, something that powerful, Microsoft could probably wait 2 years before refreshing it, maybe even 3 years, just because it's that much more powerful than anything we've seen before.
Right.
It'll take time for developers to really max out that power.
Now we can loop back to the Switch if you want, because there is a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
here. And I just want to watch time because we have about 15 minutes left.
Okay. There's
have you talked about all the design related nuances that you wanted to talk about?
I think so.
The shoulder button was the only thing that I noticed, but I don't know if there's anything else.
Well, okay. Well, there is the new HD Rumble. So the Joy-Cons have this thing that they're calling HD Rumble, but it sounds suspiciously like the Taptic Engine in the new iPhones to me. The example they gave was you could shake a Joy-Con as if it were a glass filled with ice cubes, and you'd be able to know how many ice cubes were in the glass.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it would vibrate, provide feedback differently, depending. And
that's a pretty sophisticated vibration motor then.
Yeah. So that reminded me a lot of the haptic feedback in the iPhone 7.
It might be something similar.
Yeah, I would bet on it. So I mean, to have something like that in games is going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
If developers take full advantage of it.
What was that thing that they were demoing where they were doing the arm motion independently? He was... CEO was
Ooh,
showing
right yes
the how the,
that
how
was
the
fighting
work.
Game so they also announced a fighting game called Arms, which feels like a zany version of Punch Out, where the characters have these giant like coiled spring arms, and because of the advanced motion sensing in the Joy-Con, like this seems to be a level above the Wii Remote or the Motion Plus that they added to the Wii Remote. This seems to be a step above that. It can tell the difference between a straight punch and a curved punch. Like, it's literally angling the character's
That's really interesting.
Gloves, depending on how you throw those punches.
We haven't had anything quite like that before this, have we?
Well, I mean, we kind of have in the form of the controllers for VR.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So my bet is Nintendo is basically intending to deliver that kind of fidelity in these controllers. at a fraction of the price and it's not VR. Though it could be eventually.
You know, I know it's not quite the same thing, but, you know, it kind of reminds me of when going to the iPhone 7's haptic engine 2. Remember that one thing that you demoed to me with the calendar rotary date picker thing, and how it actually feels like, for the first time, when you're moving it, it actually feels like something physical, like an actual physical dial that you're gently moving with your finger. It's very hard to describe, and it sounds odd given that this is an audio podcast, but when you actually experience it, which I did, it was just like, whoa, kind of throws you back for a second. You're like, whoa, what is this? I'm touching glass, but it feels like a button. What?
Yeah. And not to suddenly go into a tangent about Apple, I feel like that'll continue to evolve with the next hardware refresh.
Well, it's not going to go this year. It's not going to go the opposite
especially way. Since of course, this year's, get better. Especially since this year's model is primed to be all glass.
Oh, that's right, Michael. We're in 2017. I forgot. We get a new iPhone this year.
I know, and it's going to be so awesome.
And yours in your iPhone 7 will be relegated straight to the garbage bin.
No, it'll be relegated straight to whoever will buy it.
You can give it to me. I'll accept hand-me-downs. I'm still happy with my 6S. Sorry, 6S Plus to be exact.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these are good phones. They're really solid at this point. Like, you always think, oh, they can't possibly do something that'll make me want to throw this phone away because I love this phone. And then they just announce it and you're just like, shit.
Right.
So at least that's what happens for me every year. Like every year I tell myself, oh, if it's not that impressive, I'll just wait a year. It's fine. And then they get up on stage and I'm like, oh, damn it.
So you did order pre-order, I should say, Switch. You managed to get one, right?
Yes. I woke up at 5:30 a.m. and waited until 6 a.m. when the pre-order started, and I was able to secure one from Best Buy.
You, sir, are a fan. You are a fan of Nintendo, clearly.
There's only two companies I do this for, Nintendo and Apple. That's it. I'll just walk into the store eventually.
I mean, I guess I could have ordered one, but I didn't really want to spend the money on it.
Yeah,
I could.
I mean, what got me was Zelda.
Sure.
Like,
I just want to wait and see what other people think about it, and I'd certainly like to see yours in action before I decide.
Yeah.
Because I mean, even if I can't get one within the first couple of weeks of launch, like eventually the supply will catch up. Right.
The supply will definitely catch up. I mean, the rumor slash conspiracy theory always goes that Nintendo artificially creates the supply issues.
And you know what? Maybe I'll replace my Vita and just use a Switch.
You could.
It could even replace my PS4 in theory if I don't care about all the exclusive games on PS4.
Yeah, I'm still going to be keeping my PS4.
No, the PS4 is a great system. Yeah, for sure.
There's some great stuff.
As long as you buy a battery pack for the controller.
Yeah. And there's great stuff in the pipeline for PS4 as well. Last of Us Part 2, anyone?
Right. yeah, that's gonna be good.
Yeah,
I don't think they cannot steer us wrong.
Not usually, but yeah, they need to get a bit smarter with what they put into their consoles. Because really, no UHD Blu-ray, really.
You know, I'm actually still thinking about selling my PS4 Slim. I think as much as I don't necessarily need the PS4 Pro for the 4K, because I don't have a 4K TV and I'm not planning on buying one anytime soon, I still feel like I made a mistake buying the Slim so close to the launch of the Pro, just for the fact of the extra horsepower that it does have, which is considerable, and the 60 frame rates per second, and even the minor visual improvement on a 1080p.
The jury's still out on the 60 frames. We still don't know exactly what benefit it's really providing. And I think it depends on the developer. So
yeah, at this point, you know, I may just wait and see. Well, it's too soon. I guess there's probably no point in waiting because it probably won't get refreshed this year again. because it just they just did the refresh
last year. It would be very odd of them to do that.
Like, so nothing this year.
The earliest they could possibly course correct would be like
2018, 2019, maybe even.
Probably E3 2018. That'd be the earliest they could possibly go. So we rethought the PS4 Pro.
With a new controller, I'm sure they would have to do something there.
Yeah,
yet another refresh without nothing.
They can't go through another iteration with the DualShock 4. They have to create a DualShock 5, absolutely. I mean, they could even do it now, potentially. Because I don't know if the PS4 Pro has Bluetooth 4 or not. Yeah. It might.
You know what? I don't even think they need to do major changes to it. The two biggest complaints that I see from people, number one, at the top is battery life. Number two, the longevity of the analog buttons. Or sorry, not buttons, but
the control sticks.
The sticks that wear down.
Yeah. They apparently corrected that with the latest refresh of the
controllers. Yeah, I've heard some people say that. I don't know. I haven't tested it.
They've made it a lot more durable from what I've seen.
I'm not one of those crazy Destiny players that wears down their... Have you seen those pictures of people's analog control sticks getting completely worn down?
Mine's starting to look like that.
I don't have that
problem.
Mine
has holes in it now.
But I guess I should play my console more than once every 6 months. that probably has a factor, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Of course, I think since you bought the Slim, you've got the new ones.
Yeah, that's true. They are more durable.
The problem was only with like the original launch batch of controllers. So anyone that has those wear down. But then they corrected it with the later revisions to the controller. But I think it's getting very long in the tooth at this point. I think we need to see a DualShock 5 relatively soon.
Absolutely.
And if the PS4 Pro does have Bluetooth 4, there you go. Make a DualShock 5 with Bluetooth 4 low energy.
Put it this way, another revision and do not upgrade the Bluetooth chip, I will take my PS4 and throw it out the window. I will be completely done with Sony. That will be a sign that something internally is seriously wrong at that company.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's like, it's not like Bluetooth 4 is this mysterious unknown technology or
something.
The
chip has been around for a long time and it's not an expensive part.
Hell, they put it in their smartphones.
It's not an expensive part.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, we're almost coming to a close. Is there anything, just to take us out here, any final thoughts, comments, now that you've seen the presentation for the Switch, now that you pre-ordered anything?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm really impressed. I'm looking forward to playing it. And hopefully what seems like a trickle of games will expand and we'll be pleasantly surprised.
Well, I mean, it's Nintendo we're talking about here. The games are going to happen. People are going to develop. I think, you know what, this is going to, without a doubt, reinvigorate people meaning developers here, just totally get them re-engaged in the platform.
I think so. I mean, it supports Unreal Engine 4. It supports Unity. It supports all the latest stuff. You might not be able to pump out the full fidelity of the PS4 or the Xbox One, but you can get somewhere in the ballpark, and it's portable, and you've got motion controls that border on VR controller fidelity. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting piece of hardware, and hopefully developers will respond to it. I know if I was making a game, I'd want to put it on Switch.
You've been listening to the Impromptu One Hologram Radio. I'm Alex Knight, joined by Michael Norton, as always. If you'd like to show your support for this podcast and the work that we do here, the single best way to do that is to go to patreon.com/hologramradio and donate today. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week. And do leave us a review if you have a moment that makes us feel good, as well as helps other people find the podcast. We're also available in Google Play Music, TuneIn, and Stitcher as well if you'd like to stream it there, and wherever else you can find podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen Impulse. I'm at Zero Distraction. And if you'd like to send us feedback the old-fashioned way, you can email us at theimpromptu@hologramradio.org, and that will go to both myself and Michael.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.